now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, as the Jedi and their clones defend Duchess Satine from assassination attempts, Anakin discovers that Obi-Wan and the Duchess have a bit of a history together. There will be spider droids, possible bow chicka wow wow from Obi-Wan, and Vader, I mean Anakin, shanking a bitch. We're talking about Voyage of Temptation this week. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm all right.
It's fine.
A little bit of a sore.
Finally cooling off down here, or up here in Rochester.
Yeah, I mean, on this end of things, looks like there's a storm rolling through, and it's really pretty. I'm going to take a picture of it in the middle of our show.
We've had a drought up here all summer, and it's finally, we've had a nice jag of the last 3 or 4 days where we've been getting nice thunder. Big. Pouring thunderstorms. I went to the bank yesterday on my bike and got to the bank and got my money out and stood in the lobby while I watched this just torrent, just, you know, one of those ones where the roads are flooded and stuff and it pours down rain for 10 minutes and then all of a sudden the sun comes out.
See, we've been in a drought too, and that huge thing that was supposed that hit Louisiana was supposed to kind of like linger on top of us too, and we like super needed the rain, but it just never
happened.
Yeah, it just didn't happen. It was one of those things that like because we're in a drought too, and so like everybody was super excited. They were like rain, but in the words of my dad, what little storms came through, you could have pissed more than it
right,
rained.
Right. We had a couple like rainstorms, but they were like 5 minute rainstorms, and everybody's like, "Yay, rain!" It's like, "Yeah, that's not gonna save your lawn."
Yeah, lawn, and that's exactly it what it's through. Been here.
I actually mowed our lawn today, so somehow our lawn stayed green all summer. But a lot of lawns around here are nice, bright yellow. There's straw right now.
Yeah. We were supposed to have a wet summer with El Nino, and it just didn't happen.
Well, luckily, I don't have, like, crops coming. I do. I actually have plants in the backyard, but there's stuff I can water with a watering can. You know, I don't have to. I'm not like a farmer somewhere. That must be really harsh.
Yeah, like, our blueberries are doing okay, but our peach tree's doing great. Our peach tree's just like, hey.
We have a peach tree here. We have a community garden down at the end of the walkway, and at the end of it was this whole shrubby area, and I noticed this tree, and I'm like, that's an unusual looking tree. And then I saw peaches in it, and I'm like, oh, it's a peach tree. That's neat. And then I'm like,
yeah.
I wonder how long those peaches will stay there, you know, being in the neighborhood. And somebody garden cleared all around it, and all the peaches are gone. I don't know if the people who planted the tree got their peaches or if just passing neighborhood people got the peaches or whatever, but it doesn't have any peaches in it. I ate a peach today, though, from the store, and it was delicious.
Yeah, I had one from our peach tree. I wouldn't be an official Georgian if I didn't have a peach
yeah,
tree.
Yeah, yum, yum. I would love to have a peach tree in my backyard. I'd love to have blueberries growing around.
Yeah, though sadly, like I said, our blueberries aren't doing that great, and the deer have been eating the crap out of them. So, yeah, Atlanta, where every other road is named Peachtree.
Peachtree Lane.
Oh, hon, you think I'm kidding. When you say, like, oh, I need to find Peachtree, people in Atlanta say, which one? Mm-hmm. Because, like, just in, like, Midtown, there are, like, something, like, crazy, like, 15-plus roads called Peachtree something. So you can't just say, hey, I need to find Peachtree.
Well, back in the old days, they didn't have those, like, you know, those baby books with names in them? They didn't have those for towns, and they had a limited selection, I guess, to what to name stuff after. And yeah, you had a lot of peaches, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure Florida's got a lot of orange streets.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to get into this episode. I'm excited.
Me too.
Are you? Okay, like, are you?
I am. I'm excited.
Did I lose Chris?
This is me being excited.
So, squirrel.
Exactly.
All right. So, I'm so glad this isn't as long as it was last week.
I heard Yoda's excited this week, too.
Ooh, I don't know.
That's never good, though. It's better when I'm excited.
Hide the Padawans, man. Hide the Padawans.
When I'm excited, that means enthusiasm. When Yoda's excited, it's up.
It means tiny green boners.
It's up for grabs, yeah. Well, it's actually, I don't want to use the term up for grabs either.
I totally, not even going to lie, hit a that's what she said in the middle of our notes. I'm not even going to lie. So you have that to look forward to. So, all right. Voyage of Temptation is the 35th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on February 5th, 2010. Or was it the 9th? Oh, it was in February. It was part two of a three-part Mandalore story arc. It was written by Paul Dini with the supervising writer Henry Gilroy and directed by Brian Callan O'Connell. Just a reminder from last week, Greg Proops from Whose Line Is It Anyway is the voice of Tal Merrick. In the episode featurette, guys, I highly suggest watching this featurette. It was freaking hilarious. Mostly because of Dave Filoni making faces and gestures as he was explaining all this. So before I read this, type in Voyage of Temptation and go to the StarWars.com and watch this featurette. It's well worth it. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, I wanted the coronet to be like the Titanic in space.
Yes, see, that was my note from the last, when they launched it, I was like, that looks like a cruise ship.
You know, it reminded me of the Doctor Who episode, Voyage of the Dam. And I, that when
so we
I
were
kept
barking
saying,
up the right tree.
Yeah, because like when I kept explaining it, I kept writing Voyage of the Dam instead of Voyage of Temptation in my notes. So I was just like, oh God. So Doctor Who got me this time around. I'd be like the Titanic in space. Opulent, very rich feeling, and regal in the upper decks. And I wanted it to be like Aliens, with shadows and creepiness and beams of light in the lower decks. I noticed there was a couple things we could do in the editing room with R2-D2. I thought, well, people like R2. Let's take R2 and make him a little prankster. And then the clone turns and BAM! And then you cut upstairs and they're having dinner. And then this is when Dave Foley made like a very slow, like very proper, like, like eating face. Not even kidding. It was hilarious. I laughed. You want to work those contrasts when you're editing a story. Another image I wanted to add in this episode was, wouldn't it just be terrible if the spider droid had a clone puppet? I swear, Dave Filoni's secretly a sadist.
Yeah, he's got a pretty dark, that's what makes it great, you know?
I know, like, he's so nice, and then he's just like, and then blood and gore, and then clones will die. It will be so much fun.
No, now there's some grit, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's this great shot where the clone is just walking forward and Anakin's like, ugh, and you know, and you just know, ugh, it's not red eye, it's not red eye, it's not red eye. And R2 is like, ugh, it's not red eye. This is literally how he talks. The assassin droid itself, I wanted it to be like a big spider. It was a more aggressive version of the probe droid in Empire Strikes Back. The core of it had these many eyes, like spider eyes, and on top of it were holes where all these little guys could pop out. Oh, how cute! Pop, 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 until there's like 100 of them scurrying up the clone's legs and up into the clone's helmet.
Man, this is like the third spider podcast that we're just trying to get rid of Chris Tyler as a listener, man.
Chris, we love you. And then you can't get it off. It's scary stuff. Spiders are scary. I'm not a big fan. Dave Filoni, I love you. He's hilarious. Like, seriously, I highly recommend everybody watching the Ahsoka Lost Tales panel from Celebration this year, because he'd be like, and then Ahsoka did this, and like Ashley Eckstein's crying, and he's like, it's okay, she lived. But then this was a terrible thing. Watch the terrible thing, Ashley. He's such a freaking sadist. Do you know what's also a sadist?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if he's a sadist or a masochist or if he flips around, but yeah, there's something wrong with that guy.
Maybe he's a beta.
He's a space cuck. I hate that word.
You hate the word cock?
Cuck. C-U-C-K. It's a men's rights activist favorite word. They use it for weak men that they view as being weak. It's short for cuckold, somebody whose woman will have sex with another man because it's inferior.
Well, God forbid if a man doesn't meet the stereotypical man standards. Hide the children.
Anyway, yeah, speaking of hide the children.
Hide the children from Yoda.
Okay. I can sort of vibe with this one, so here it comes.
Okay.
Fear not for the future. Weep not for the past. In bed.
I weep for the past in bed.
Yeah, I can see that. I could weep for the past in bed too, but I do fear for the future as well.
I don't fear for the future as much as guarded optimism. But there's I definitely have some stuff from the past, missed opportunities or opportunities that should not have been taken to weep about. Missed opportunities are the ones I whine about.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm kind of, I do fear a little bit for the future and, like, stuff, but not like that, so, but, yeah.
I'm not telling my missed opportunities story again. I've whined about it too much on Two True Freaks podcasts.
You know, to be very honest, the thing that kept coming into my mind about, like, opportunities and stuff like that, I just keep thinking of our debate our discussion a few episodes ago when we were talking about how you went to, like, the bonfire and the thing, the Satanists?
Oh, the Satanists, the pagan festival.
Pagans! That's the word I'm looking for! Somehow,
a little different than a Satanist festival, but I know what you're talking about.
I knew I was not correct when I was saying Satanist.
Yeah, you know, so, oddly enough, though, that's not where my missed opportunities came into play. As a matter of fact, there's probably many bullets that were dodged there.
Yeah, that's why, that was the first thing that came to my head.
Now that I just said bullets dodged, I can think of one very specific missed encounter that I literally, like... If it was a cartoon, I would have been running away with all those little, like, dust lines behind me.
I just imagine you running like Scooby-Doo, like, jump in the air, your feet spin for about 3 seconds, and then just pew!
Yeah, I'm out of here. But, yeah.
Alright, so Act 1?
Act 1.
Oh, my voice. This is not a good day to... It's not a good day to have a sore throat.
You don't have a lot of notes on this, but you got some a good long storyline to read off on this.
And so. I have a lot of cap locks in my notes. All right. So, Act 1. Continuing from last week, Duchess Satine of Mandalore is heading to Coruscant to plead the Republic Senate that Mandalore is not in leagues with a separatist. Obi-Wan, Anakin, Commander Cody, and Captain Rex are part of the escort mission to protect her. Anakin and Obi-Wan brief their men and R2-D2 on the situation. The Death Watch terrorist group will stop at nothing to kill Satine before she complete her case. They send the men on their way, and the Jedi are summoned to meet with Satine on the upper decks. On the elevator, Anakin is like, "So, what's up with you and the Duchess?" Heart, squeaky face, and stars. Obi-Wan snaps back, "Oh boy, shut it now! Don't you look at my feelings, mister, I have a secret marriage with Padme!" Rex and Cody very smartly stay quiet. Down in the lower deck, the clones check some cargo, but after they leave, one box opens as spindly legs slip out of it. Up on the 1% deck, Satine is monologuing about to everyone about how war is terrible, I'm a pacifist, and I won't be part of the Clone Wars. Obi-Wan swaggers in, encountering her with that sometimes you need to fight to end a conflict. Satine introduces the other sinners to the half-truths and hyperboles that is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Freaking Z-snaps, girl! Obi-Wan, that's my favorite part.
I'd always, when I heard that, it flashed me right to episode 4 and was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love her. Obi-Wan introduces Anakin and Satine, laments about a time where Jedi were not fighters but peacekeepers. Obi-Wan and Satine begin to snip at each other until the Ryloth Senator, Orin Firita, steps in and tries to smooth out the argument. Satine and Obi-Wan get into a super heated argument full of sexual tension and sass until pretty much everyone is like, maybe we can eat something now? They break up their spat while Anakin is enjoying the crap out of the entire ordeal. On the lower decks, Clones Mixer and Red-Eye look for any intruders. R2 plays a little prank on Red-Eye to startle him. After the droid rolls away, Red-Eye is attacked by something in the dark. Mixer then falls to the spider droid too.
Now, do you think that Red-Eye is like a reference to like Friday the 13th movies where the stoned guy always gets killed first? The stoner guy? That's why they call him Red-Eye, because his eyes were always bloodshot?
I don't... You know, I don't... Maybe. Maybe.
I do. This was a this was a short first act for lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Well, to finish up on your last point, it's not like they can have a clone that's called Naked Girl Takes a Shower Then Dies.
Right.
That would totally... What's your name? Naked Girl Who Takes a Shower Then Dies? Oh, I'm going to stand over here.
Well, then there's Jock and Cheerleader who have sex and then get killed together, but that's not going to happen with the clones either.
I just saw like two clones doing that. I just can't really have
that. Might go beyond the PG-13 of Clone Wars.
PG-13 goal. I'd watch it.
I love the elevator scene in this. In December, we're getting back to the prequels. You'll see in episode 2, this is a like almost like a direct mirror of the elevator scene at the beginning of episode 2, where they're going to, you know, Anakin's going to see Padme for the first time since he was a little shaver, and he's real nervous about him, and Anakin's, or and Obi-Wan's kind of poking him a little bit. So it's reversed here. The roles are reversed here.
What's a little shaver?
You never heard the term little shaver before?
Does it mean like pubescent boy?
No, it just means a little kid.
Oh.
It's just an old antiquated term. Look at that little shaver over there. I have no idea where it... Yeah, shaver, it does sound pubescent because maybe he would start to get a few like shaggy hairs. But no, it's for like a little, it's like little duffer. Look at that little duffer over there.
Okay. Okay.
I'm old.
So it's, yeah. Okay.
Do you think she's maybe a little drunk when she's dressing down Anakin or Obi-Wan? I noticed she's got like a wine glass in her hand.
No, I don't. Only just because she was like that last episode.
She's ruthless, man.
I love her.
Ruthless.
Be ruthless.
And
that's what I've always liked about her. Like, she doesn't. That's why I'm glad we get her and Padme together. Because I just really want an episode. I wish we had an episode and we never got one where Padme and Satine save Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, that was an episode that I would
love. A double date
episode? Yeah, we're not, like, something like where, like, Padme and Satine have to do, like, go somewhere together and, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan are the things. But it's kind of like they're kind of running away, like, keeping, like, right around, like, away from each other. Because, like, Padme and, like, Anakin are trying to be together, but then something happens and the girls have to save the boys, like...
See, I would like to have, like, Obi-Wan and Padme and Anakin and Satine split up to a group, and that way they could talk smack about the other ones. And so, like, you know,
Well, see, like, Team Obi-Wan and Padme would be the ones getting shit done. Yeah. While on the other side, like, Anakin would be like, tell me everything about
exactly.
Obi-Wan, like, all the pretty details. And Satine would be like, oh my god, where do I begin? First and foremost, he doesn't brush his teeth. Second, his beard is ugly.
Obi-Wan's not fair. You're telling me. It would be awesome.
He's so dumb. Oh, God, I know. He's so dumb.
But I'm a little pissed at Dave Filoni because, and I'm a little glad that maybe I'm thinking on the same lines of him, but, like, my notes are very similar to, like, what the stuff he was saying, because I've got the note that R2 is a... I actually use the word prankster. He's a little shit in that at the beginning, and that's good. That's where R2 should be. He needs to be kind of a little shit to define his personality. He's always been a little shit, and especially without C-3PO there to point it out, you know, he's got to be even shittier.
Yeah, but he gets his just desserts because he gets scared. Yeah.
So you get from messing around with the poor stoned clone trooper.
And then he died. So, like, maybe it was, like, a little bit of grief. Like, I caused his death. Mm-hmm. Maybe if he was, I'm a robot, I don't have feelings. So let's fuck with some more. So, what did I write? I thought of something. What did I say there? I thought of something while watching this episode. If there wasn't a Clone Wars going on, it was a scene where she was talking about Jedi's that they used to be peacekeepers.
Uh-huh.
If there wasn't a Clone Wars going on and he was raised to be a general, what kind of character or Jedi do you think Anakin would have become? Because me personally, I don't even think he would have become a Jedi. I just think he would have been like, fuck this.
Yeah, he would have probably walked off. Her line about peace, you know, it's like, what's the difference between a soldier and a peacekeeper a lot of the times, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if the, you know, maybe is she saying, no, I'm, you know, like the times where you guys didn't have to fight an insurgents, you know, and you were peaceful. But it's not really the clones or the Jedi's fault that there's this aggressive Trade Federation mucking around doing things like blocking off planets and stuff. So
that's why I kind of wish there was a little bit more info, like canon info. Let me rephrase this, canon info. That's like kind of like pre-episode one. Because I think, because it's right around, you know, that time where like the Jedi start stepping in more, and then like Palpatine's like, oh cool, be the general.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wish we got to see like maybe like more of like, like Qui-Gon pre-Qui-Gon era, where they were kind of more peacekeepers.
My understanding is a lot of the EU before episode one is like 4,000 years before episode one, you know, like in the old primitive days of the Jedi and Sith. So,
and yeah, we talked about like the Old Republic, because previously I mentioned Old Republic and the fall of it and stuff.
Something that I have more interest in right before episode one than 1,000 years before episode one.
And that's how I feel, too. Like, I wouldn't mind, like, young Qui-Gon book. Like, Qui-Gon and, like, him.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, him as a Padawan. That's something I would like.
Or Qui-Gon when he was, like, young Obi-Wan, young Anakin, you know, Anakin's age in episode 2 or Obi-Wan in episode 1 when he was, like, 20 years old.
Oh, kind of like the Obi-Wan and Anakin comic, but with Qui-Gon?
With Qui-Gon and his master.
Oh, that'd been great. I would actually like a kind of a younger Palpatine book, too, kind of. Palpatine coming up through the ranks and
young
stuff.
Young Palpatine. You see, I don't think they could. They would really want to do a young Palpatine because they might want to keep it in mystery for any future story sort of stuff. You know, you could ruin some things by giving away too much of. It's almost better to have him be as mysterious as possible. Even though they did have his, I guess, the story of he and Darth Plagueis.
Yeah. That's another person I want to learn more about is Dark Plagueis. Plagueis. His name's a plague.
December's coming. Yeah. Winter's coming.
I'm actually more excited for October when the Ahsoka book drops. And it fills in the gap from Clone Wars to Rebels. And it's a canon book.
And then you're capping the whole thing. You're going to cap the whole thing off with the Christmas special. You lucky, lucky girl.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Rogue One.
There's that too.
I thought you were talking about
I forget
Rogue One.
To be honest, I forgot about Rogue One. That will be a better capper than I guarantee, just from the trailer, it's better than the holiday special.
Oh,
guarantee.
God. Did you see that I called you out in my trailer reaction?
I saw that. Yes, I did.
Yeah. By the way, I must say, because I've only been doing trailer reactions for a little over a month now, and I've discovered that Star Wars fans and Onesters are really super nice, and comic book fans are really super picky.
Right.
They're like, It's like night and day. If you look at the comments from my Rogue One trailer reaction and my Star Wars Rebel trailer reaction to, like, my Doctor Strange trailer reaction, it goes from being like, oh, this is quite lovely, to, oh, God, these guys are jerks.
Yeah, sometimes on YouTube it's better. YouTube is probably one of the most wretchedly horrible comment sections ever.
My favorite comment that someone left me was, no wonder you didn't see anything in the trailer. You were talking through the entire thing, and I'm sitting here going, and someone had wrote, I can't hear the trailer because you're talking over it. I'm like, it's a trailer reaction. What?
Yeah, are you just supposed to do it just by facial expressions or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, someone wrote me, I can't hear the trailer because you're talking over it.
They might not know the difference between the trailer and a reaction to the trailer.
I was like, why are you watching the trailer for the first time through my reaction, first and foremost? That doesn't make any sense. Second, a lot of it, and like some of it, I was thinking about doing a video about the difference between facts opinions and opinions based on facts. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it because, like, opinions cannot be wrong. Facts can be wrong. A fact is either right or wrong. But opinion is based off what a person thinks and believes and stuff. And so, like, I was thinking about doing a video that's like, this is a fact. An apple is a fruit. This is an opinion. I like apples. This is a opinion based on a fact. I like apples because they're fruit. And I was thinking about breaking it down, like, facts can be wrong. Like, if I said an apple is a vegetable, well, no, that's a wrong fact. An opinion based on a fact saying, I like apples because it's a vegetable. Well, the opinion is correct because it's my opinion, but the fact is incorrect. And so I was thinking about doing something like that, but then I was like, I don't feel like it. Because, someone was like, I really like your trailer reaction, but just so you know, Wonder Woman's based in World War I. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, my opinion is okay because, I liked the trailer. But yes, I was incorrect thinking it was World War II, so thank you for the correction. So I don't know. People get so picky because somebody was just, when I said that Justice League, I thought Justice League was my favorite trailer of Comic-Con, they were like, no, you're wrong. It's Doctor Strange. I'm like, no, I can't be wrong. It's my opinion.
You fool. I really love that new Rogue One trailer. That's what I finally needed to see to get me excited about that movie. Not that I didn't like what I saw before, but it was just like these bare minimum little things. And this one seems to give you a little more feel of what's going on. And I like the way that they're doing the special effects.
I like the teaser slightly more. Just slightly. And I think what I liked about it more was, still my favorite scene from either trailer is the scene where the doors open up and they run out and the walkers are shooting at them and, like, the one bolt flies by their head. Like, I got chills watching that. And that was hands down my favorite moment of either trailer. So I think I like the teaser slightly more. Just slightly.
Yeah, I like that you got more of a feel for the other characters in the trailer, and I liked that it was saying, you're going to see some World War II Saving Private Ryan shots.
Forest Whitaker
looks great.
Oh, God, he looks so good as Saul.
The other guy, the Asian martial arts choreographer guy, I can't remember the actor's name, but I guess he's a really good... He does really good fight choreography with the stick. I like his character already. Something about his character, I was just like, oh, this guy's going to be great.
Do you know who I think he is?
No.
I remember at the beginning of The Force Awakens how Poe's looking for the old guy and he's part of the School of the Force?
Yes.
I'm thinking that the blind Asian guy with the stick is part of the School of the
Force.
Might
be one of those guys.
Yeah, and I kind of like the beginning of that and stuff like that after the Jedi are gone. That's just kind of my theory.
Well, it's not Kanan because it's not far enough in the future.
Oh, but what if it was Kanan? I know it's not far enough in the future, but that would have been cool. Oh, man.
It's too old to be Kanan, unfortunately. That was one of my first, and too Asian to be Kanan, too.
And also, Rebels is parallel timeline to
right.
it. Like, they're... Yeah,
and so here's some victory. We got Scott Gardner's Well, it's not victory because of us. It was because of Scott McGregor. But finally, Scott Gardner's watching Rebels.
Yay!
I can't wait till he gets to Darth Vader. Oh, he's going to flip out. He's going to love that shit.
Well, to finish up my notes for Act 1, I feel like this is the first time that Orin Fritala has really came out acting like a senator. Because in the Ryloth episodes, he was sort of this like 1% guy who's fat and he's kind of a wimp and he's always away from the conflict of his people. And he's always shown to be cowardly. But in this opening scene, like, he pacifies Obi-Wan and Satine and like kind of like directs the argument. And it shows why he's actually good at pointing out debates and arguments and smoothing him over. So like that was like the first time I actually saw him ever as a senator.
Well, he had to get there somehow.
Well, yeah.
And he's like,
And he wanted to get to dinner.
Yeah, that he definitely wanted to get to dinner.
But yeah, I kind of like that moment to have that little moment with him. And finally, I mentioned the extra information from last week that Anna Graves, who was Satine's voice actor, mimicked Cate Blanchett's version of Queen Elizabeth. And when I started thinking about it, like, Satine really is a lot like historically Queen Elizabeth was. She wasn't married. She leads this huge system of planets. She stands firm on her beliefs. And she has a lover, Obi-Wan, who she never marries. And I wonder if that's what the writers were going for, making her this kind of Queen Elizabeth-like character.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it just reminded me so much that I was like, Obi-Wan's a pirate. Anyway, I didn't have anything else for Act 1, did you?
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, here we go.
Take a deep breath. This one's not quite as long, I don't think, as Act 1. It's about the same.
Yeah. So, hey, I missed little Mandalore right there. Anyway. All right. Shut up!
About three seasons down the line, we're just going to say screw it, and we're going to have that computer voice going, Anakin has Satine's history with his old master.
No, we will never have a computer voice ever in this show.
It'll sound like and I'll play the conspiracy music video from conspiracy video music, you know.
We will never have a robot-like video.
Oh, that's right. No, we won't, will we?
We will never have that. I don't care if I have to, like, whisper yell from losing my voice. We will not have that. Hope has spoken. All right. Anakin asks about Satine's history with his old master. Obi-Wan explains that he spent a year on Mandalore with Qui-Gon Jinn, protecting Satine from political insurgents. Anakin's like, no, man, that's not the history I was asking about. Obi-Wan gives him a long side eye in the silent treatment. Anakin asked why Obi-Wan didn't stay to help Satine rebuild Mandalore after her civil war. He said it would have been quote-unquote problematic.
Oh, yeah.
In the privacy of...
bed!
Sorry, you got me. In the privacy of his room, and I like this, that Obi-Wan spoke more openly with Anakin when they were away from everybody. Obi-Wan was more open with Anakin, admitting that he had feelings for Satine, but he had to live by the Jedi code. Interestingly enough, it's Anakin that quotes Yoda about how Jedi shouldn't form attachments. Obi-Wan adds that they didn't teach how to deal with remorse. Down below in the cargo bay, R2 finds a discarded clone helmet and freaks the fuck out. He zooms away to Rex and Cody. Cody calls up to the generals that something is up. Anakin heads down to check it out, while Obi-Wan goes to warn the senators of a possible situation. Anakin and his men find an empty crate and spread out to find out what it is. Obi-Wan will stay with the senators. Moving through the crates, Anakin finally sees Red-Eye. But that's not Red-Eye. The spider droid throws the dead clone at Anakin and attacks. Rex and Cody show up with their men and take it out. But a second spider droid sneaks up behind them and scurries up the elevator lift. He calls into his old master to warn him. The Mandalore Royal Guard and Obi-Wan ready themselves. The spider droid pries open the door and takes out a few guards. Obi-Wan quickly destroys it. Behind Anakin, tiny little spider droids begin to pop out of the big one and swarm him and the clones. Same thing happens back above deck, and the little spiders head for Satine. Anakin fights with the clones while Satine whips out a little blaster and stands back to back to fight with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is like, hey babe, where'd you get that deactivator? And she's like, dude, I'm a pacifist, but I'll totally defend myself and kick some ass. Together, they save the senators while Anakin and the clones finish up down below. That's what she said.
Oh.
Yeah, those clones can finish off down below for me.
Said that's what she did.
I don't know how Yoda would do that, but yeah.
And she said that's what. What? What'd you think about two?
I like this act. Come on, it's got a probe droid puppeteer.
He just wanted to get into the theater.
And once again, I'm like, I've just got Dave Filoni's notes, except I've got one note that Filoni didn't get in there. And I also noted the spider eyes with little spiders coming out of them is about as creepy as you can get. It's like that picture of the person that like smashes a spider, it's like a GIF or a short video. You'll see it all the time. It's somebody smashing a spider with a broom and then thousands of baby spiders scatter behind it. It's the same sort of idea. But they did a callback to the movie The Thing in this.
Explain for those of us like me who have never seen The Thing.
All right, did we actually... Am I, Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's in the next act.
Okay, well then explain in Act 3 for people...
Yes, definitely, I will.
About the thing. All right.
But the pacifist thing. Once again, how pacifist are you? Are you a pacifist if you're fighting off droids? If you're
activating droids? I think she's... You know, it's like we talked about. I think she's more non-violent than pacifist. Yes. Though I do, if I will say, like, that scene with her and Obi-Wan back-to-back, if that's not part of our photo cover for this episode, I'm going to disown you. I'm going to disown you. It's such a great shot.
Well, I'll remember now that you said it when I'm editing.
I know. That's why I said it. What I should do is just, like, leave you notes while we're recording.
I know. Oh, that's sort of what you just did.
And this is what Hope wants for Christmas. Go. I want this and this and this and this.
You're getting the Star Wars holiday special is what you're getting for Christmas.
Yay. I'm actually really excited.
Yeah, that's good. Hold on to that feeling.
No, like I feel like it's going to be like watching a B-movie. Like when you go into it knowing it's bad, but since it's a B-movie, you enjoy it.
There's nothing I can say to describe what you're going to see.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
It's truly one of those it truly is one of those experiences.
I'm so excited. Okay.
Well.
So,
hang on to that feeling.
Now you're kind of scaring me a little bit.
You should be scared. You will be.
Who did I call for harassment on my own podcast? Let's call Scott on you. Gardner! Chris is making me uncomfortable.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah. Choo Choo Free doesn't have an HR department.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's making you feel uncomfortable. I've known him for 30 years. It makes my skin crawl.
I'll call Gene on you. I don't know what Gene would do. Anyway, this episode was so needed for Obi-Wan. For a season and a half, we've seen Anakin and Ahsoka emotionally struggle, and they have faults and these failures. But Obi-Wan has always been that kind of shining example of what a Jedi should act like. And he's always been kind of a mentor and just kind of like just on a higher level than the other two protagonists. Well, now that we're really getting to Obi-Wan's emotions, and I really enjoyed that because we see that he's quite human, having these past affairs and relationships, and it's a really great side of Obi-Wan for Anakin to see, especially Anakin. Obi-Wan is a huge shadow to live in for him, and Anakin can see that Obi-Wan was not the perfect Jedi he's made out to
it's
be.
It's just like a kid with their parents once the kids reach a certain age and start, like, Well, I don't know about your parents, but I think just parents in general, like, my mother wasn't going to talk about, like, old boyfriends or something like that when we were, like, little kids, you know. It was always like, oh, yeah, your father and I and stuff. But, like, you know, when I was a teenager, she's like, oh, yeah, I dated that guy when I was in high school, you know, that sort of thing. It's like, what? And you start getting those humanizing aspects, and that's what's happening with Anakin and Obi-Wan, and it's about right in the stage of their relationship that, you know, maybe Obi-Wan could use a little humanization. A few chinks in his armor.
I had it, and yeah, you just reminded me of a story with my mom that I'm not going to tell, because I think if I did tell it, she'd kill me if she found out.
But you got one.
I do. I think everybody has one with their parents. Just kind of like a follow-up note on that, too. I kind of wish we got more episodes like this for other Jedi, like Wet Blanket Windu. Only just because, like, I don't know, I kind of would like to see what Obi-Wan, like, Windu's past relationships were like and stuff, so.
Yeah, I hope Windu has, like, some totally crazy, just the opposite of him girlfriend, you know?
I mean, if Jar Jar has an entire episode where he has, like, sex and Windu has to, like, be and stuff like that, I want to know about Windu's sex life.
Yeah, he has, I want him to have some, like, manic pixie dream Jedi girl. You know, that just, like, that like, is working on him all the time because he's such a grump, you know, and she's just like, come on!
You just described, like, 90% of shoujo anime.
Right.
Oh, senpai! What? I just love you so much! We have nothing in common. I know, let's fall in love! Okay, I love you now. Like, that's, like, 90% of shoujo anime. Senpai!
Yeah, I mean, like, the natural, like, the easy idea would be to have some sort of melodrama, like, you know, he had a wife and kids and they were killed by, you know, some evil horde or something, and that's what made him into such a hard cult. But I'd rather have he had some, like, goofy hippie girl that just, like, was always just like, come on, smile!
Oh my God.
Better with you.
Oh my God.
Have some chai tea.
I was thinking, like, maybe he just has himself a little sex butt because he's so cold himself.
Right.
It's the only thing that would understand his feelings. You always understand me, Pornbot 2.0. Yes, sir. Harder.
Or when, you know, you never know. He might. Jesus.
Sorry. Go on.
Oh, Mace, sorry. You're the best. The best. You're the best.
Oh, my hair. Well, you were about to say something, and then I made myself laugh.
I was just saying, but you never know. He might be one of those guys that, like, he's all business when he's Jedi, and when he gets home and back to his apartment, it's just like, puts out some music, and, like,
I mean, Samuel L. Jackson,
his hair
I'm
poofs
sure.
out, you know, puts on a, like, smoking jacket. Calls up.
I just imagine, like, he opens the door and just walks through, and he, like, walks out of the Triskelion in Marvel, and he's Nick Fury. He's just like, oh, shit, my eye patch.
Cigarette dangling out of his mouth.
What's up, motherfuckers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is a must. God. Well, I don't have anything else for Act 3.
That's the shortest batch of notes I think I've seen you have in a long time.
Well, like we were saying before we started recording, like, a lot of my notes on Satine I said last week, so I didn't want to, like, repeat my... Because I could go on
right.
everything about how awesome Satine is and how she's a badass bitch and I love her to death, but I said all that last week, so if you want to hear
you
that...
You should have saved up some of it for this week. You spent it
you
all
know,
last
I was thinking
week.
About that. I was looking at my extra information from last week, and I was like, I could have put, like, half of this in the next week's episode.
Well, so, live and learn. Live and learn, mm-hmm. Hope.
All right. Well, Act 3?
I am ready.
Okay.
And don't forget to ask me about the thing comparison. You could drop out of my brain any second now.
I forgot. When you said the thing, I realized that you were talking about your old movie, but I was like, why am I asking
don't
you about
forget about
thing?
The thing.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, "Why am I? What thing am I asking you about, Chris?" Oh God!
Yoda has a T-shirt. Ask me about the thing, and nobody asks him about it ever.
No, it's like the new pussy. It's like the new pussycat.
The new pussycat?
Yes, the new pussycat.
I've never heard of that.
Damn it! I'm trying to set you up for a joke.
I thought so, but I didn't even know how to set myself up. If I even
Say, add the word what in front of it.
What's the nude pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Oh, whoa. It's a Tom Jones joke.
I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez.
As saw that yesterday on Tumblr, and he really died. I thought it was just the funniest fucking thing to me. Because it said, all it said was, dicks out for new pussycats, and someone went, what's new pussycat? And he went, bro! Anyway, act three.
Wow.
Man, this is an episode. I love it. Anyway,
I'm putting some Tom Jones in this episode for sure now.
You know, beforehand I was saying that like this episode could be underscored by Moulin Rouge, and I haven't even sang once.
I can't believe we've had the show and we've been slinging around the word classy for so long, and I haven't included Tom Jones.
I know, but we could be lovers.
I'll find the appropriate moment when I'm in the editing process. I'm sure I'll know exactly where I need to drop it in.
Because, like, when I was watching this episode, I just kept hearing Ewan McGregor in the back of my head singing Moulin Rouge. Why does my heart cry?
Yeah.
Feelings I can't fight. I love him. Anyway, actually. Oh my god, I'm looking at my notes. Oh, man. Okay. Anakin starts looking into... Sorry, I tripped on spit.
Nice.
I know. Classy, right? All right. I feel much better now. Act 3. Anakin starts looking into who authorized the spider droid crate to be put on the ship. There's no name, but the Mandalore Senate stamp is on the authorization. He chats with Obi-Wan, and they realize that one of the senators on board appears to be a traitor. With one tiny little spider left, Obi-Wan has an idea about how to expose the traitor. He brings up, what is it called when you cover a flower or a toppet or a cake with one of those glass things? What is that glass thing called? You're muted
when
if you're trying to...
When you cover a what with a what?
You know, like when you have a, like a cake, but you put a little glass top on top of it or like something like that. Or like the Rose and Beauty and the Beast has that glass thing on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Google sucked
well,
at
the
that.
Cake, it's called like a cake topper or something like that. But I know what you mean. You know, where you would have the food in it and go, voila.
Yeah, because like I wanted to find that, and I googled top of cake, and I just got like cake toppers, like wedding cake toppers. And I was like, Beauty and the Beast glass rose, and it was like Beauty and the Beast is kept in this glass rose thing, and I was just like, nothing is helping.
Well, that's the thing is, his is more like a cake topper because it's clear, so you can see the cake under it.
Yeah.
Whereas the thing that we're thinking about, and they also would have them at hospitals, you know, when you get your hospital food, it's always in a plastic version of that. And it isn't like, voila, there's your lovely food. It's like, oh, geez, what's that smell?
Oh, yeah, a pound of Jell-O.
Yeah, this is another one. The word is right out. I know there's a word for it, but I could not tell you what there is. Listeners, hop on that.
Yeah. Actually, I could just easily... My friend's a baker. Like, one of my best friends is a baker. I'll just call her. I should have. Obi-Wan has an idea of how to expose the trailer. Traitor. He brings up a glass with a spider droid inside of it and goes, voila! The little droid, in theory, will kill anyone who is Satine or tries to defend her. It won't attack the one who programmed it. Satine is livid that this is borderline torture. But Obi-Wan needs to find the snake. It lunges at all the senators except for Tal Merrick. He slaps the droid out of Obi-Wan's hands. In the confusion for Obi-Wan to dispose of the droid, Merrick grabs Satine and holds her at blaster point and leaves the room. Obi-Wan is pissed and is off to save his boo. Anakin gets some tiny spiders off of Cody and Rex, but there's still no sign of the big assassin droid. Suddenly, it leaps out of the crates and tackles Rex into an open area. Oh, God, no! My baby! My baby kicks it off like a freaking ninja! And the spider scurries up the wall, and Anakin flings his lightsaber at it, but Rex puts his boot on it, and then shoots the shit out of the droid, being the final one to defeat it.
It was kind of like a laser version of Whack-A-Mole with what Rex did.
That was, I know, he just starts shooting in all the holes, man. Oh, God.
Good aim, man. He just like, ding, 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 ding.
Ugh, my uterus. Anyway. Up on the bridge, Merrick kills the entire crew to take control of the ship. Obi-Wan and Anakin meet up and head to find Merrick. In the elevator, Anakin's like, so, now might not be the best time, but did you and Satine, you know, ever canoodle and stuff? And Obi-Wan is like, oh my god, Anakin, it is not the time. It will never be the time. Oh my god. Tom Merritt calls Pre Vizsla for reinforcements, and the Separatist ships full of droids literally arrive seconds later, crashing into the Coronet. The Jedi split up as Anakin will handle the droids while Obi-Wan will find his girlfriend. "She's not my whatever, man," Obi-Wan spats and hurries off. He comes up to the bridge where Merrick welcomes him and says that he's rigged the ship to explode if he pushes a button. Satine pleads with Obi-Wan not to put so many lives at risk for her. They get into a tense standoff and Merrick leads her from the bridge and Obi-Wan cautiously follows. Anakin and the clones with the Mandalore guards make quick work of the droids. "Ready for my shipper heart to swell with happiness?" When Merrick looks like he will leave with Satine, she admits that she loved Obi-Wan since they met. Obi-Wan hesitates, but then says if she had asked him, he would have left the Jedi Order for her.
It's one of those moments though, where it could be like, quick, kiss me so these people don't notice. They both have plausible deniability that they were just distracting the guy by saying it, though.
No, I would give anything to have an Obi-Wan Satine kiss. Merrick is like, gross. If you're done, I'm going to go finish being evil now. And Satine is like, how dare you not appreciate romance? And stomps on his foot and steals his blaster as part of her distraction. Merrick isn't phased. He still has the detonator and will blow up the ship when he's away. If Satine kills him, then it will go against her beliefs. Obi-Wan can't kill him or he'll lose Satine's respect. Have you ever seen The Incredibles? Remember The Incredibles in that movie and how a villain should never monologue?
Right.
Because Vader, I mean Anakin, comes up from behind and shanks Merrick through the back. Before Obi-Wan and Satine can have a moment, Cody shows up to cock-block them. The Coronet arrives safely on Coruscant and Palpatine congratulates them. Satine says goodbye to Obi-Wan and says that she doesn't like his beard because it hides his pretty face and Hope died of shipper feelings the end.
Aww. I knew that was... I was watching that going, oh my god, Hope's exploding right now. Hey, Hope, ask me about the thing.
Hey, tell me about your thing.
No, it's not my thing. It's everybody's thing. It's John Carpenter's thing, actually. There's a scene, the scene, and I obsessively went to food service sites to look up what those things are called, and It's just a serving tray with a dome. There is no
dome.
It is a dome.
That's what it's called.
But I'm sure, like, probably the French, since they love food so much, or maybe the Italians, probably have a word. There should be a word for it.
But, I feel like I have heard a word for that.
But when Anakin had the little spider in the dome, in the serving tray dome, the cake dome, that scene was right out of... I'm assuming that the John Carpenter's thing isn't really in your wheelhouse of movies. But there's a scene in it where... And in the movie, the alien creature can take the form of anyone it comes in contact with. So they know that, you know, at least one person amongst them is probably, you know, this creature. And they all get them together in a room and they devise a test, since the thing has a sort of self-defense mechanism that's built into its, you know, on the cellular level. So they find some of its blood and they find out when they put a hot piece of metal in it that it actually like squeals and jumps away. So they have a scene where they take a little blood from everybody and then they hit it with the hot metal to see if they're human or not. And it's almost exactly, this is like the PG-13 with no blood version where he just goes from person to person to see what the reaction is. And, you know, and then when it gets to the one person, the gig is up.
Did you think it was Tom Merrick from the beginning?
Yeah, just because.
I kind of wish they had other similarities. Because
they had the other guy, but we've known him from before, and I thought he could. He is kind of slimy, but I didn't. It wouldn't have made sense for him for it to be him, you know.
Yeah, and like the other senator, after the next Mandalore arc is when, because that's Uncle Ono, Padme's uncle from season one. That Nemordian guy, and she's like, Uncle Ono, that she, like, captured Grey. So, like, I wish they had, like, another senator there, like, someone who might be more shady to possibly show it was somebody else,
yep.
to at least throw off the trail, because like
it was kind of obvious where it was going, and then they picked him, and he's last too, so like, I mean, you sort of have to have him be last so you can count everybody else out, but it was still you still sort of saw it coming.
Yeah, like that was one that like maybe just because but like they could have thrown us a huge red herring, kind of like in the Slick episode where Slick threw everybody off that he wasn't the traitor, right. And they like there's another clone that was like slightly more demented that was more likely candidate. And the only reason I said that was last episode, like, Cal Merrick was barely in it. And when he was very helpful to Satine. Like, they could have, like, really thrown us off. But just, like, from the choice of senators they had, like, it was kind of the obvious choice it was him.
Yeah. Boy, he was right about the interior of the ship looking like an ocean liner. Right down to a big wooden steering wheel in the front, like an old sailing ship.
It really does remind me of the ship from Voyage of the Damned in Doctor Who.
Voyage of the Damned
in Doctor Who.
Okay, I did not see that. But I like that. I like that idea of that. And then Anakin pulls a Lenny and Squiggy.
I don't know what that is.
That's another old person reference. Well, there was a show that was a spinoff of Happy Days called Laverne and Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
And Laverne and Shirley had two greaser characters called Lenny and Squiggy, who were kind of misfit, annoying characters in it. And they would, you know, they would, Laverne and Shirley would be in their apartment and they'd be having a conversation. And, you know, Laverne would say, well, I wanted to do this. Well, you shouldn't do that because that's the most obnoxious thing you could think of. And on the words obnoxious thing you could think of, Lenny and Squiggy would burst through the door and go, hello!
And there is no reason on earth why Prince Charming cannot walk through our front door. Hello!
Anakin pulled a Lenny and Squiggy on Cold-Blooded Killer. As soon as I heard the word Cold-Blooded Killer, I knew Anakin was going to come up behind him and shank him. It was just too much of the Lenny and Squiggy opening. It would have only been perfect if he said, vroom, shanked him, and then went, hello! But he did. But he, you know, in spirit, he did.
We got one thing better. In that scene, they played the Vader theme under it.
Yes, yeah, the nice, the slow Vader theme, just to make sure that you understand that this is evil Anakin. I think we get it, though, when he shanks him from behind.
Oh, yeah, but still, like, it was, that's what makes that whole scene, is they very gently play the Vader theme under it, and just Obi-Wan's voice of, Anakin.
Come on.
Like, yeah. Oh, man, dude, no. And to top it all off, then Anakin has my favorite line of, what? He's coming off the ship!
He's a jerk, what? Come on.
He's that guy! God, Obi-Wan, I just saved everyone's life. God, Obi-Wan is so dumb.
Oh, I'm telling you, that shit leads to shanking Padawans eventually.
God, go watch Padawans that stuff. No one understands me. These Padawans just stare at me. God, now they're going to stare at me dead. Anyway. I did have one question about this scene, though. How did they know that there were three assassin droids? It was never stated until they were like, and I'll go get the third
one. Yeah, they had some other line of just like, yeah, you know, we think there's one more, you know, and it's like, why? What makes you think that, you know? For some reason, they don't seem to have any kind of... Sometimes they can go like, oh, there's five humans over there or something, but they don't seem to have any kind of tracking to be like, there's some mechanical thing with weaponry on it moving... 50 feet ahead there in the dark, you know? They don't seem to have that kind of technology. So, yeah, it seemed like they were just sort of guessing, or I don't know, maybe in Star Wars world, like, you know, hey, you know, Sith come in twos and assassin probe droids come in threes.
Star Wars, where you can travel the galaxy in less than a day, but they don't have technology to track spider droids.
Yeah, maybe when you pack them up, you know, that's how many fit in a crate. I don't know what they thought, or maybe R2 was like, yeah, I got the feeling there were three of, I don't know. was weird.
I just like the idea of, like, they made four, but they're like, we can only get three. And, like, the fourth one is back on Mandalore just serving cocktails to Pre Vizsla. He's like, thank you, Sammy. Yep.
They took his blades off and put serving trays on it, and he's just like, ah.
And Pre Vizsla's like, look at my new pet. It's like Grievous and Gore. Yep. But that's not Pre Vizsla's pet. He's just like, look, I love it.
It's a droid equivalent of desk work.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's... Or maybe just, like, the... What was the boy with all the reprogrammed droids? Like, Tebow, Jaybow. Jaybow! Just send it to Jaybow. Yes. He'll help with it. Rex killing the spider droid is one of my favorite Rex moments. I just have to say that. I love that moment. James Arnold Taylor is so good as Obi-Wan in this episode. There's just so many layers to his performance, from, like, the remorse of remembering his time with Satine when he was younger, to his annoyance and his voice cracking whenever he yells at Anakin.
Well, he's channeling Ewan McGregor channeling Alec Guinness without it sounding forced. It sounds, even if, like, say you hadn't seen any of the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan, and you just seen, like, you know, the original Obi-Wan, and then you saw this, you would know instantly from his voice that it was Obi-Wan. You know, you would figure it out so quickly before anybody even called him by name.
Mm.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, like, this is probably one of the more, like, real episodes that Arnold Taylor just nailed hardcore. Like, this is one of his best, and I absolutely loved his entire performance.
Well, this, you know, this would be, like, I think, like, as the actor, I would be starting to see, this was, like, where you're really getting his first chance in Clone Wars to develop his character and do something, you know?
Yeah.
So he is. So he probably saw the script and said, oh, yeah, I get to really, like, have some fun with it and dig my teeth into this one.
Yeah.
A little more to work with than just going Anakin, although he gets to do some Anakin, but it has some really good context to it.
Mm-hmm. Most of my notes for this are pretty shallow. I love how much Anakin enjoys taking the shit out of Obi-Wan.
Yeah. When you get that chance, you might as well take it.
Yeah, we need, like, 12 more episodes of that. Obi! Satine calls him Obi! Obi!
Do you think Wan might be, like, in Asian, it might be, like, a term that you add to, like, maybe a term of respect or something, or more, or,
no,
like, sir,
I
or something,
think
his
like... name is actually Obi-Wan, because...
Well, like, San, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at Qui-Gon. His name is Qui-Gon. They don't call him Qui.
Yeah, but then again, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan might not have come from the same planet.
I think his name is actually Obi-Wan.
Because they don't... It's not like you're...
Like,
when you're a Jedi...
It's like Padme calls Anakin Annie.
Yeah.
It's just... It's a pet name. It's like if I called you, like, Yodi.
Yeah.
Yodi! Yes!
Oh. Yodi's not much of a nickname because it's not even a shortening of Yoda. It's just changing the other name.
Like if I called you Yode.
Yo. Yo.
Yo. Yes! Yo! Call me Yo!
See, if I was going to call him a pet name, it would be like Stumpy or something, or Froggy. Come on, Froggy.
No, I'm not Stumpy. I'm a shower, not a grower.
He's a little shaver is what he is.
Aw, and Obi-Wan would have left the Jedi Order for Satine. My heart. He would have left the Jedi Order. My heart.
He would have, but he didn't.
I know. They could have had beautiful babies together. They could have had really pretty... Ooh, I got one. I got a question for you,
okay.
Chris. Okay. We're going to play What If, like, hypothetical land game. So what if Obi-Wan had left the Jedi Order for Satine, right? It's a Qui-Gon, then finds Anakin, and then Qui-Gon dies. Who do you think would have been Anakin's mentor?
Oh, jeez. Definitely Wet Blanket Windu would not have been into that.
I think he might have been the best choice because he would have been no-nonsense and he could have handled it.
Yeah, he might. But they might have set each other off in bad ways. I think Jar Jar Camel would have been good.
Master Sanube.
I don't know. I mean, you'd almost with the thing about Anakin is he was a special case because he was possibly the chosen one, and even if he wasn't the chosen one, he had off the charts midichlorians and was volatile. He might have gotten like Yoda, you know, or something. They might have wanted to put they probably wanted to put somebody, you know. I mean, Obi-Wan gets him because
he made a promise to Qui-Gon.
He made a promise to Qui-Gon, and they already have a bond together and stuff. And Anakin was coming in late. But, like, yeah, I would think they'd want to put either Windu or, because apparently Windu and Yoda were the two, like, biggest badasses as far as sheer force power midichlorian levels win or whatever. So
Windu's my first initial choice, too, but I also think he would have done really well with Quinlan Voss because he was kind of an unethical Jedi himself.
Mm-hmm.
Voss did train Aayla Secura, who ended up being a really badass Jedi herself. So I think he would probably be my non-Windu choice because he's just not your normal Jedi, too.
Yeah. I can see that.
That would be my choice. What else did I write? So Tina's so smart, she uses her romantic moment with Obi-Wan to distract Merrick long enough to escape him. Love. We could be lovers. We can't do that. And my final note was, the only thing I felt was missing from this episode was the clones' input of Obi-Wan and Satine. We know later that Rex knows that Anakin is married, and in the Bad Batch episodes, he helps Anakin when the clones paint a Padme on the side of the ship. So they're really good friends, and they pick on each other a bit. I would have liked to have a moment where Cody asks Obi-Wan about Satine, or at least had some sort of comment to show that Cody and Obi-Wan's friendship as well.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
It's weird. I just don't see Cody as being. I see them as having a relationship, a working relationship, but I don't see him like Rex, where it's like personal as much, you know?
I would have even been like, you know, like, when they were all on the ship, like, Obi-Wan having a line, like, you're not going to say anything, Rex, and you're not going to say anything, Cody, and Cody's being like, it's not my business,
yep.
Sir.
None of my business, sir. Yep, something like that, and that would be like, yeah, I think Obi-Wan, like, since he has a relationship with Anakin, it's okay for him to articulate that stuff around Anakin, but might not, even though there was articulation of it in front of Cody or whatever, but that was something maybe with, you know, the people you're in charge of, you might want to slough it off more and not be like, oh, let me tell you the story, you know?
Like, though, I bet Anakin and Rex afterwards were like, let's talk about
Obi-Wan. Sure. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Anakin would have
Anakin goes running back to Ahsoka, Snips, I have something to tell you. Snips.
Wait till you hear this.
She'll be like, what? Girlfriends? I have a secret girlfriend with Barriss. What? What? Barriss is my girlfriend. What? What? And Rex is like, I don't have a girlfriend. I'm a clone. Hope thinks I'm demisexual. Probably. Anyway, that's all I had. Did you have anything else for Act 3?
No. Are you ready to slap some numbers on this sucker?
No.
No.
I'm just kidding, yeah. What did you think of the episode, Chris?
I liked it. I liked it a little better than last episode, surprisingly.
Well, we did say that last episode was an all setup episode.
Yeah, I liked that episode a lot. I gave this one an extra point than last time, so I gave it an 8 because I really liked the politics, how the politics were handled in the last episode, and that it was kind of a different, talkier sort of one. But this one's had a good balance of a little bit of the politics, and then like, it was maybe a third politics, a third interpersonal relationships, and a third just straight out fighting. And the fighting was also a little horror movie tinged, so It's right up my alley. So this one gets an 8. This is a better than average episode for sure.
Nice. Well, for me, like, I'm always a character person first and foremost. So this is such a good emotional episode for Obi-Wan. It's so rare to see him flustered and constantly challenged. So that's why I love Satine episodes so much, because it brings out a new side of him that we rarely see. And it's so much fun to see Anakin just enjoying the hell out of this. Yep. Like, usually Anakin's the one being teased by Obi-Wan. Well, karma's a bitch, and Anakin's having his fun now. And I like just that little tease of Vader as Anakin easily kills Merrick. So I give this one 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, not only easily, he does it with a little bit of sense of humor. He's, like, smiling when he's like, what? He was going to... Come on.
He's going to kill everyone. God, Obi-Wan. God.
Yeah.
Can't even kill a guy and Obi-Wan just judges me. Oh. Well, as always, dear listeners, we would love to hear your feedback, and there's a few ways to get that back to us. First and foremost, you can leave us a review on iTunes, and we will read it here on the show, and it will help people find the show, so please, we would love to hear from you guys on there. You can also hit us up on Twitter, which I'll tell you about that in a second, but we also have the Two True Freaks Facebook page, where we post all of our episodes every week when they go up. And this week, we have a Facebook feedback from Aaron, and then another one from our friend John on Twitter.
From Twitter, yay.
Yay. So, do you want to read the ones? Because you wanted to sing this last week, and I swapped out the notes on you.
Oh, I didn't say I wanted to, but I will. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should read some, shouldn't I?
Yeah, my voice hurts. I have a cold.
Okay, so this is a... last week, we were running long. This almost made it onto last week, but it got bumped into this week. So Aaron writes, well, I have no clue yet what's going on. And this is because
we were talking about duck faces.
Yeah, about making duck references, because this episode was, as you know, about seven episodes back, where we had gratuitous use of duck sound effects. Anyway, well, I have no clue yet what's going on, but Rubber Ducky, you're the one. You make bathtub lots of fun.
You're going to sing this in Yoda voice.
Proud of you. Bo bo bodio, squeaky squeak sounds.
Now, you told me you were gonna sing that in a Yoda voice.
Listen, you gotta put the two side by side so you can compare and contrast. Not okay, going back on my promise. And now in Yoda voice. And now, I'm going to try to do this in Yoda diction too. So.
Oh my god. Okay, take your time, take a breath.
The one you are, Rubber Ducky. Lots of fun, you make bath time. Awfully proud of you, I am Rubber Ducky. Boobo-dio.
Yay! Yay, Chris!
That was pretty hard.
I'm very proud of you. It was worth the wait.
That was like when I was in my band and I had to sing. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Ween. But they had one hit song, Pushing the Little Daisies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got that high-pitched, you know, that voice that's been pitched up in some sort of effect. Mm-hmm. Well, our band got the bright idea to do that, and I got the bright idea that I wanted to sing it. But I didn't just want to sing it. I wanted to sing it into a voice pitch changer so that it would sound exactly like the song. But what I didn't realize is to do that, to pitch it to the right pitch, so it sounded right at the song, that I had to sing in this unbelievably weird key that was not the key of the song, while hearing the music in the correct key, so that when it got pitched up, it would be at the right...
Oh my god.
I gotta tell you, it would about break. It's the stupidest, simplest song in the world, and it almost killed me to do it. So I highly advise against trying to do that stuff. And I always was like, you know what I don't like about Ween? They don't do their funny voices in their songs live, and now I know why.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, we got more of this letter, so. He quotes the Rubber Ducky song. It's just funny because Aaron just made his first podcast called Tangents Abound, and I just tangented in the middle of his.
Oh, Aaron has a podcast?
Yes, you didn't see it. He posted it up on, I think, on the Two True Freaks. I don't know if he put it on Two True Freaks or the Two True Freaks Cantina page.
I don't get listen to the cantina.
But he's got a podcast up on Blogspot, I think. Anyway, so you go to blogspot.tangentsabound.com, or is it tangentsabound.blogspot.com? That's what
I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it.
And he did his first episode, and here I am still tangenting in the middle of his post. Anyway, Rubber Ducky. Okay, sounds like this is going to be a great episode as usual. Looking forward to it. Also, I have no idea why I've been quoting/parodying songs with the last couple episodes, but it's been fun.
Probably because I sing in like every episode.
Next episode is one of the best of the season, landing at Point Rain. Mm-hmm. And or as I like to think, Saving Private Rex.
Or Saving Rex's Privates.
Yeah!
I still can't believe that they got away with flamethrowers and burning bugs crawling away. Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
And then we have our friend John Wilson on Twitter. So, Tag, I figured you're going to take most of this because I haven't seen episode three in forever.
Yes. Okay. Oh, his is nice and short. Nice and easy job for me. Do y'all have an opinion? Since he put y'all, I'm going to do it in a southern accent. Do y'all have an opinion on the interpretation of episode three that Kenobi and Padme had a little something on the side? You noticed any ambiguous Clone War scenes that might go along with it? Yeah, not before episode three for me. Episode three for sure. There was. I didn't interpret it as maybe they had a little thing going on because I don't think either of them would do that, or maybe there could have been a little spark between the two of them, but I don't think it would ever develop into something. But there was like an intimacy to them at the point where, you know, where she comes clean to him and is like, Anakin's in trouble and all that. But there was an intimacy there that made me think to the point of where, and you see her saying, this is what's, you know, we've been married and all this. So I'm not even sure by episode three if he didn't already know that, or maybe he knew it. He and Pat, maybe he was a confidant to Padme behind Anakin's back, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I don't know about a little something.
For me, like from what I can remember of episode three, because it's been so long, I think it was more like they just have, it's an intimate moment because they both have this shared love of Anakin. And so they're coming together because they want to help Anakin. But as for Clone Wars scenes, Obi-Wan and Padme have barely been together in any episode. Like, I think there's only a few episodes here and there, but usually it's Anakin that's with Padme. There's been very few and far between episodes that both Obi-Wan and Padme have been
in. Right, but then there's those moments in between episodes, those long Coruscant nights where, you know, there's not really a story. It would just, unless it was like a porno movie or something. You know what I mean? It might not figure into this, if they had a little affair going on, it might not be in the context of a Clone Wars story. You know what I mean? Unless the Clone Wars were going
to
have like,
Obi-Wan
gets a little something.
I thought you were actually referring to a legitimate Clone Wars episode until you said a porno night.
Well, I mean, if they were like sneaking off and having an affair, if it would fit in the context of a movie or a TV show, then you would see the affair. But then there's all the stuff that you don't see. And, you know, just because you don't see it on the TV, on the show, you know, you got to figure they're probably brushing their teeth and stuff like that, and they're probably taking a dump, but you ain't going to see it.
I think a lot of it, like, maybe I could see the possibility before Satine came in. Like, now that we have Satine, we have a lot of Obi-Wan motivation.
That's true.
And background on that. So, like, I could see the open door of that, but now that we have Satine, I don't see that. Just because it's Satine. That's their true loves. Their true love, and it doesn't die. Maybe like if it was Ventress and Obi-Wan, I could totally dig that. I'd totally be into that.
Also,
crazy ass ship.
If Obi-Wan didn't know anything about Anakin and Padme, he would have to be like duped, like, and had the affair it just doesn't fit with either of their characters, you know? It doesn't fit with with Padme, that she would be like, oh, what Obi-Wan doesn't know, they're not going to tell each other, so I could have, you know, it's not within her character. And it wouldn't be within Obi-Wan's if he had any inkling that she had anything to do with Anakin.
You know, I could see Padme and Bail Organa, maybe, but that's
kind of kinky.
Yeah, I mean, there is a bit of an age difference, but I could see those two together, but...
Oh, wait, now Yeah, that's right. They're not even adopted related. I'm getting her mixed up with Leia. That would be really creepy.
That is true. Technically, maybe they did have an affair, and Organa really is her father.
Oh.
He just doesn't know it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Luke, we all know who she was having the affair with. It was Jar Jar.
We have a Maury moment where it's like, Vader, you are not the father! What?
I wish I could do a Jar Jar voice. I was going to be like, once you go Gungan, you have lots of fun or something. I don't know.
Did you say foot
fun? Fun.
Oh, that's just foot fungus. Once you go Gungan, you have a lot of foot fungus.
You probably would have a lot of that, too, yeah.
Oh, foot fungus and the vajayjay.
They're like frogs. They're probably pretty moist and clammy.
Oh, God! Oh, that just, like, makes my vagina squeal.
Is it like a safe door, like, flying shut and then spinning locked and closed?
That's what it felt like. Like, everything. Like cramped up down there, just thinking about
it. It's like
it.
The end of
What's that Greek myth where the woman has the vagina with teeth?
I know the term for it is vagina dentata.
Yeah, it's an actual Greek myth. That's what it felt like just now. I just felt like I grew like a row of shark teeth in my like vulva.
Excellent. Does that answer your question, John Wilson? Oh, that's what these people get for writing in.
I made myself laugh.
Classy show with classy questions and classy answers for those classy questions.
Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we have a million, billion, zillion podcasts, a whole galaxy of podcasts. It's like that No Man's Sky video game. With podcasts, you could just fly into our podcast network.
Didn't that just get delayed?
No, it's out. There's people. Scott 2.0 has been addictively playing it. Like,
I'm thinking Final Fantasy 15. That got delayed.
He says it's pretty. It sounds pretty. I'm not into games like that, but it sounds like I'm thinking about playing it. I love the idea of it.
The one that I super want to play is We Happy Few. I'm not into horror games, but that just looks super intriguing to me. And it wasn't even the actual trailer. It was the gameplay footage that won me over.
I just like the idea of there being the whole universe created that you can explore and like name your own planets and stuff. I like that idea. That's like one of the things I've been wishing for with, you know, the closer to a virtual universe. And anyway, that's at twotruefreaks.com. Also, what we have there that you can land on is our Amazon link. And that will be further explained in the outro to this. But we're also on Facebook. There's a twotruefreaks.com where we post all our shows, or a twotruefreaks at Facebook where we post all our phones.
All of our phones?
Blah, blah, blah. There is a Two True Freaks Facebook page. It's a group where we post all the shows as they come up. Everybody has shows, which means there's just tons of shows being posted. There's a Two True Freaks Cantina now, where you can go and just shoot the shit with other freaks. And there's a Twitter page that Hope Mullinex is running for Jay Guys and Jedi, and the Two True Freaks Twitter page. It's being run by the legendary Gene Hendricks, who is also the opening voice of Jay Guys and Jedi. He's the second voice you almost always hear in Jay Guys and Jedi. The first being Todd Grady, who is the opener of almost every Two True Freaks podcast that I do.
Well, he has a great voice.
Yes, they do. They both do. And some people think they're the same person, but they're not. They're not. Although I have not seen them both in the same place at the same time, I have seen them both, and they're both very different looking. Anyway, where would people find you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi on Twitter, like Chris said, and you can also find me personally at Hope Molnax, and I also write for What the Fangirl, and relatively soon, but it should be up by the time this comes out, I recently interviewed one of contestants from her universe fashion show. He's actually an old high school friend of mine. He's a fashion designer. And if you don't know, Her Universe was started by Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice of Ahsoka. And the last 3 years at Comic-Con, they have a fashion show, and he was one of the contestants. So I interviewed him about the process, about working closely with Ashley and stuff like that. So that will be up. If it's not up on What the Fangirl by 7 weeks ago, then I'm going to be pissed.
And you don't want her to get pissed because she grows teeth in her vagina.
Yep. Well, the only reason is delayed because I found out, sadly, my editor, one of her kitties, passed away.
Oh, so I hate her.
I'm definitely giving her some leeway on putting it up just because she hasn't been in the right mind to do much editing the last few weeks.
I know. I just heard it's been 7 weeks now, but I've Paul Spataro just lost a dog. That one had a little extra sting for me because I've actually met that dog twice. It's very nice. Older dog, but just very, very friendly and nice.
I'm so sorry, Paul. Animals.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything else, do you?
No.
Well,
I'm ready to jettison the hell out of here.
Yeah. Until next time.
May the vagina dentata be with you.
Chomp.
Chomp. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Thank you for your patronage. Oh, we didn't mention the store.
The what?
Our new store, but that's okay. Our new store.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's all right.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.